So you've got a business, but what about a brand? The difference? More of you. Wix gives you the freedom to create your website, own your brand, and do it on your own, exactly how you envisioned it. Experience limitless customization. Boost your creativity and efficiency with AI tools for every part of your business journey. Scale up with built-in SEO, e-com, and scheduling features. Put more of you in your business. Go to Wix.com and do it all yourself.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, did you get the answer to our question? How many e-scooter riders have been fined under the new regulations? You probably didn't get the right answer, but the man who has it is Conor Faulkner, transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC. Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. Hi.
What is the answer to that question since the regs came in?
Since the regs came in May of last year and up until the 11th of February, I think the stat, 245 fines have been issued. So that's approximately €150 fine per day.
They're not going to bust the exchequer with that kind of
income. You certainly aren't. Nor are you going to catch every deviant and badly behaved e-scooter user.
But the regs are actually almost unenforceable. Number one, you can't exceed 20 kilometres per hour.
Yeah.
Now, how do you measure that? The guard on the beat who's expected to catch these guys doesn't have some sort of speed monitor.
Two ways. Firstly, any e-scooter that you buy in the European Union has to have a governor on it, which will prohibited from being powered faster than 20 kph. Now, if you still want to come down Howth Head using gravity, it might be physically possible for you to do it. And then in terms of enforcement, you're right, there isn't a sophisticated calibrated machine to detect 20 kph,
and you're not allowed if you're under 16.
Yeah, you're not allowed if you're under 16,
and yet you don't have to carry any ID. So the guard stops you and said, how old are you, son?
A lot of our laws,
I'm 17, guard.
Yeah, a lot of our laws are like this, Pat. And that's just real life when you live in a human society. You can't write down in law every conceivable circumstance. When you write down a law, you can't guarantee that it'll be universally enforced, notwithstanding the guards trying to do their best. What I would say in general to remember about e-scooters is that for all a lot of people's instinctive prejudice against them, they are in all respects legally exactly like a bicycle. So even
They're exactly like a moped. They are underpowered. They don't require any physical effort at all
but
to get them going.
In terms of their behaviour, they are like vehicles. And if they're faster than 20 kph, they're governed like a moped in terms of the law. But below those light ones that you see around, they're limited to 20 kph, and they function de facto effectively like bikes. And every complaint that one could make about them: he mounted a footpath, he moved out in the traffic, he's got no lights, he's wearing black on a dark day, there he goes across the junction — all of those things could be said and are said equally about cyclists. And it can be frustrating. And you've got road users who don't behave well. It frustrates the whole system. And the poor old car user does get annoyed. And he says, look, I'm the one who has to pay for insurance. I'm the one who actually does get fined. And there's another jaywalker walking in front of me with his nose in his phone. And who's punishing him? Again, that's just part of the mix, I guess. And you have to remember that what you're dealing with here is Mark One human beings. So you're going to get human behaviours.
But I mean, you came in this morning in the car and you saw what I saw. Scooter guys on the footpath, which is against the regs.
Yeah.
Kids breaking lights on the scooters. Certainly kids, I see them every day if I'm walking the dog. I see kids definitely under 16 riding scooters.
Okay, well,
So the law is just a laugh because it cannot be enforced.
I'm not sure I accept that, Pat, except insofar as you could say the exact same things about bicycles. So you could say to me, if there was no such thing as an e-scooter, we could be having this very same conversation about bicycles and the very same points would be being made. You know, why is it illegal to have a bike mounting the footpath when you never, ever see anybody caught? But, you know, we have laws. We needed laws for e-scooters because you want to facilitate their development. There was a study by the RSA which said that 4% of adults are regular e-scooter users. But more interestingly, they expected that number to triple in the reasonably near future.
I mean, I think they're very convenient. I've tried them and I've tested them and so on. And they are very, very convenient. There's no question
about
it.
And the scope that they have to address our traffic problems, they're extremely low footprint environmentally. You're essentially tripling the potential pool of cyclists. all good stuff, all stuff we should be facilitating insofar as we can.
But you have rules, for example, Connor, that you've got lights front and rear on them. And the more modern ones, the ones that have come in since the regs, a lot of those are very visible, although the rear light is at a tiny wheel level.
If it's only 6 inches above the ground, that's an issue.
I was looking at a bus in front of me this morning, and I noticed that the brake lights, they have brake lights up at roof level as well as at waist level, if you like, on the bus.
And it's
in other
really
words,
helpful.
You know, so you can see what the bus is doing well in advance of actually coming upon it.
Yeah, just to prove that I'm old, I remember back in the sort of late 80s, early 90s, Volvo innovated by applying a high-mounted brake light, so a brake light at the top of the rear windscreen. Yeah. Very easy to see through cars
kind of
and traffic. Now kind of standard. When they first introduced it, it was technically illegal, according to the type approval regs that applied there. But it was manifestly a clever idea and quickly became universal. We may have to improve e-scooter laws. For example, wearable tech, well, not very technological, but you can have a helmet that has a light on it front and rear. If you're on an e-scooter with a low-mounted rear light, that's a very useful piece of tech to wear. But it's not prescribed in any law or anything like that.
No, so but I mean, for those of us who pass them every day, the guy with the cycling in, maybe he's active travel, he's actually working hard on his bike. And I see a guy and he's got a light on his haversack and one on his helmet. I can see him from way, way back and it's very useful.
It's a great idea. And again, you will get some people, there's a few militant cyclists who kick off whenever I say anything negative about a lousy bike lane or something like that. And they will sometimes tell you that, you know, the cyclist shouldn't have to do this. They shouldn't have to have that, shouldn't need to wear a helmet.
There was a discussion on one of the radio programs about drivers in cars.
You know where your business would be without you. Imagine where it could go with more of you. Well, with Wix, you can create a website with more of your vision, your voice, your expertise. Wix gives you the freedom to truly own your brand and do it on your own, with full customization and advanced AI tools that help turn your ideas into reality. Scale up without being held back by cookie-cutter solutions and grow your business into your online brand. Because without you, your business is just business as usual. Take control. Go to Wix.com.
For a limited time, you can get KFC chicken with the sweet heat of hot honey. And after one bite, you'll wonder, how do bees make hot honey so hot? Are they special bees? Does KFC have dragon bees? Fire-breathing dragon bees that create spicy honey? No, silly. There's no such thing. KFC just partnered with Mike's Hot Honey to drizzle all over their crispy chicken. But dragon bees would be so cool. Try it now for only $7 or share a box with friends for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
To be wearing high-vis. And they don't realize that what the car is high-vis because it's illuminated generally 24/7, just after dark.
Yeah, and these aren't constructive. I mean, these are little sort of spike bombs directed at, you know, one category of road user, couched in road safety terminology, and they're not constructive. Now, I've said before, I'm actually against a compulsory helmet rule for bicycles, and a lot of road safety people think I'm wrong about that. But I base it on what we found internationally, which is that if you introduce a compulsory helmet law, what you have in mind might be safety, but what actually happens in the real world is cycling numbers collapse, and that's no good to anybody. So, you know, just because you say safety doesn't mean you're right and doesn't mean it's good policy. And that's something that we have to bear in mind as e-scooter use grows.
I mean, the helmet is up to the individual, I suppose. Mm. I mean, I would support people wearing helmets all the time, but the idea that city bikes couldn't really work
Exactly.
You have to supply a helmet with them and, you know, lice and all the rest of it that might be, if you're renting the helmet as well. I can understand those difficulties, but that's about the rider protecting him or herself. They choose to wear a helmet. It really doesn't add to their visibility. Not much. And there might be a tiny reflector on the back of the helmet.
Yeah, that's true. It's not its primary function. So, I mean, well, I would say be safe, be seen. And again, there's people out there who give out to me about that. If I say, you know, if you're a pedestrian on a rural road at night, have a high-vis and carry a torch. And I'll get people on to me saying, like, how dare you? It's the motorist's responsibility. And you're just going to go, oh, come on. Does everything have to be a row? So it certainly is good practice for anybody using an e-scooter motor to beehive is, to bedeck yourself in it in an Irish winter. We're getting our first drop of sunshine for 11 days outside the window now. Be safe, be seen. But at the same time, if you put that in law, you've got unintended consequences and you don't
want... Now, sometimes road design forces people to break the law. For example, e-scooters have taken over the footpaths on Griffith Avenue. Pedestrians have to watch out as they whiz by on either side. And that's... I know Griffith Avenue, but I don't know the intricacies of the design of that road and whether or not they've kind of forced the e-scooters onto the footpath because it's dangerous to be on the road.
Yeah, cyclists are suffering the very same thing. I mean, if you come in through Rathmines, for example, it's nobody's fault, but the bus physically occupies the full lane. So you get a peloton of cyclists built up behind the bus. Do they mount the footpath? Do they hang around in the diesel fumes? Do they move out into traffic? They're not good choices. But if you're routing bikes, and I know it as a bike lane user, very frustrating when you're rolling down the road, but now you have to go in this high friction surface, mount a little mini ramp, go behind the pedestrians on the bus stop and then come out again. Anybody who uses a bike knows that drives you mad. You just want to roll on by. And I think over-engineered bike lanes can be a bit of a frustration for everybody.
Interesting one from Lara in Dublin. Those scooter governors are easy to override, and it's the first thing that most new owners do. Get rid of the governor.
I'm not sure. I just don't know.
The basic scooter is capable probably of doing 50 to 60 kilometres.
Yeah, the electric motor has plenty of power in it. It used to be the case that there were certain models of car where it was possible to essentially doctor the engine management chip and you turn like an ordinary diesel car into something high performance. I won't name the brand. It became quite a well-known thing. Eventually, there was a technological solution. With e-scooters, as the technology matures, as it's much more standard to buy these things in Europe. Designs will get better. Those sorts of things will change.
Speaking of Europe, my daughter got a speeding ticket in Valencia 2 years ago on a scooter. She was doing 25 kilometres per hour.
Yeah, so fair enough.
And they have some device to detect excessive speed.
You know, an average of one person per day, we could argue it's not enough. You know, there aren't enough drink drivers caught either. But somebody somewhere is going to get a fine today for bad behaviour on an e-scooter, and surely we want to see that.
Another one picks us up. The no helmet argument is bonkers. Say that to the person in Beaumont Hospital with a fractured skull.
Yeah, I know. And again, you know, it's always easy to make... to make the emotional story like that, the rhetoric that says, you know, what is the price of a human life? A fine thing to say in a speech. If you run an actuarial calculation on that because you want to build a hospital or build a dual carriageway, you have to work it out. So the difference between good intentions and good policy.
A learner motorcyclist is required to learn an L. Why should scooterists and indeed cyclists not be required to wear a registration or licensing number on their backs or... identify them.
Imagine the consequences of that policy. If you're going to say that now, if you want to ride a bicycle, you have to put on a high-vis with your serial number on the back of it. Nonsense. And what would
Connor, nonsense by tradition here. My wife was born in Bermuda and grew up there, spent her early teenage years there. Everyone who wants a bike, they know the number of that bike. You actually do a little course to learn how to ride that bike and so on. There are different ways of approaching this.
Yeah, but a high-vis with a registration number on it, bespoke to every cyclist that you must wear before you take to the roads. Firstly, that's just a terrible policy. But the first unintended consequence of it...
Why do you constantly defend people who don't have to carry identification when they are wrongdoers?
Well, should a civilian carry a registration number?
Probably.
So if I want to be a pedestrian in Dublin city centre, third-party insurance and a number?
If you are stopped, for example, shoplifting, you should be able to be identified. I mean, this is carry ID cards
and if I'm
here.
Stopped
in every country in Europe, they carry ID cards.
And if I'm stopped jaywalking?
Yeah,
carry
an ID card.
Okay, and should that ID card be on public display so that a passing driver is able to read it?
Well, if you're on a motorised vehicle, I suggest yes.
Well, that's because the motorised vehicle has capacity to do third-party damage and therefore has to be insured. But you're talking here about cyclists, about pedestrians.
Have you heard of you get them all the time, the cyclist who whacks into someone's mirror, breaks it off, and it costs like maybe €200-€300 to replace it.
Really?
And there's no way of tracing that person at all.
And so is the solution that everybody wears a registration number that CCTV cameras can read? There are unintended consequences to these proposed solutions. But there's no doubt the general point that we don't enforce well enough and we don't enforce enough is an entirely reasonable point. There are other countries that do that better than we do. But looking at a problem and over-engineering a really complicated legalistic solution is just not the best way to fix things. It simply isn't practical. And by practical, we mean it doesn't work.
All right. Start enforcing enforceable laws, being on footpaths, too, on the scooter. Get the traffic wardens to enforce the law. And the same applies to bikes. That's from Eamon. That's all we have time for now. Connor, we don't have time for a couple of other topics, but we'll perhaps address those next week. Transport commentator and consultant to the RIAC, Connor Faulkner.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
No offense, but your brain is a terrible place to keep your big idea. It belongs in the world, but you know that already. You have a calling, a voice that says, this is what I'm meant to do. Create the website your big idea deserves with Wix. Make it your own with top-to-bottom customization, AI to help realize your vision, and built-in business tools to turn your daydream into your dream job. Wix supports every stage of the business journey, except one. Your decision to begin. Ready? Go to Wix.com.